You're listening to A Slice of Therapy with me, Alan Parry. Now, one of the things that's been shown a number of times to be beneficial for our well-being, physical and mental, is having a pet. And I actually did a podcast some months ago now about this top neuroscientist, and she found out this way that her trauma had been healed and soothed. And she explained that the bulk of it was because she got herself a pet dog. Now, there's a number of reasons why this might be beneficial. One of them is the way our nervous systems work. We co-regulate more effectively than when we self-regulate. In other words, when our emotions are up the wall or we're feeling kind of anxious or shut down, then being with something other than us, you know, a person we like or an animal that we like, is going to help us to regulate again much more quickly and much more effectively than just on our own. And of course, when we stroke a dog or whatever pet that you'd prefer, we get oxytocin as well, that very calming chemical that goes through our bodies that just calms us down. But one of the things that I think people really overlook is what we do with our voices when we're with these animals. Now, when I talk to a dog, I talk to dogs very different than I might talk to my friends. So if I had a friend called Bob, I'd probably say, "All right, Bob, how you doing?" But if I had a dog called Bob, I'd be, "Hello, Bob. How are you? How are you, Bob?" And what I'm doing there is something called prosodic voice. It's the way a mother would talk to a baby, for instance. "Hello there. Hello." Now, the reason why I raise this is because I actually think that that's part of the reason why having a pet is beneficial to us. Now, there's those other things as well. And also, if we've got a dog, it gets us out walking, which is beneficial to our mood and our health because we're getting a bit of exercise in. But that thing there, what we do with our voices, that is something that nervous systems respond to. So when a mother does that to a baby, the baby feels soothed. And even now, when we're grown up, if we hear that kind of "hello" sort of prosodic voice, you know, that Julie Andrews singing a song from Mary Poppins, for instance, those kind of frequencies that go up and down, we find them very soothing. The nervous system researcher Stephen Porges once said that our nervous systems are crying out for Johnny Mathis. And if you don't know who Johnny Mathis is, go and Google and you'll hear that he's a singer with a particular frequency, you know, relatively high-pitched voice. And so when we're saying things like that to our dogs in that "hello there" kind of voice, is it possible that what's actually happening is that our nervous systems are hearing ourselves talk to the dog in such a way, and our own nervous systems like to hear it too? And so there's something very soothing about saying "hello there" that our own nervous system likes to hear too, even if it's us that's saying it. Now, that might seem a strange theory, but there actually is some science behind it. So let me share that with you. There was a study done in Europe and Japan, and it was by a researcher called Jean-Julien Aucouturier. I've probably mispronounced that terribly. They're never called Smith, these people, are they? But Jean-Julien Aucouturier, I think, is the way you pronounce his name. But basically, he did some research on this. And what he had people do is he had people read from a book of short stories. And then what he would do is he would then play back the person's own voice to them. However, they'd been tweaked very subtly. So they still sounded completely human, but they made two tweaks. They could either tweak it to make it sound happier, or they could tweak it to make it sound sadder. And the way that they tweaked it was simply by changing the pitch. So they'd make it slightly higher pitch in order to make it happier, or they'd make it lower pitch if they wanted to make it sound sadder. And they did it a little bit more subtly than I just did it, but you can see the effect. Now, the funny thing is that even though it was the person's own voice that they were hearing back, they reported feeling more positive when they'd heard the happier tweaked version than when they heard the sadder one. And, you know, I sometimes think on these things, you know, when we're asking people, are we always getting the right result? But they actually hook them up to electrodes on their fingers as well. And that kind of measured more arousal on the happier voice too. So it wasn't just what they were saying, it was what their bodies were doing. And this, I think, is key, because our autonomic nervous system, which I've spoken of many times on this podcast, and I think is a really important and overlooked part of how we change and why we react the way we do. Our autonomic nervous system is constantly listening for signs of safety and danger. Because what it wants to do, it wants to either connect us and build connection where that's possible, or create protection where it senses danger. Now, one of the ways that it does this, it's part of a really big nerve in your body called the vagus nerve. And the top part of that goes from the heart to the facial muscles. And so that ventral vagus, it's called, just a nerve, it's a really long nerve, it wanders right throughout the body, but the top part that goes from the heart to the face, that's in charge of our social engagement. And so now, as I'm kind of lifting my eyebrows up as I'm talking to you, and it's changing the inflection of my voice whenever I choose to, and all of these things around the ears as well that allow us to be able to engage with each other socially, that is all governed by the ventral vagus system. It's that part of our nervous system that's activated when everything is okay. And so when we hear that prosodic voice, then our nervous system hears it too. And it just invites us to a place of calm and safety. It makes us feel a little bit happier. Now, this is an interesting thing, because what it suggests then is simply by changing our voice and changing how we talk, then we can have an impact on our own emotional state. Now, isn't that astonishing that simply by talking and changing the way that we talk, we can actually make ourselves feel more positive? What a resource that we've got there, right at our fingertips, or at least our tongue tips. Now, you'll notice that songs do this as well. So I'm going to show you three different ways in which you can change your voice in order to change how you feel. And the three things are volume, melody, and pace. Now, if I wanted to talk really loudly, then that's obviously what I'm talking about in terms of volume, or I can bring it back down again and it doesn't sound quite so loud. The melody are like the notes on a piano. So if I'm talking in a very dull voice, I could just talk like this and it would be the same note basically as if I'm playing the same note on a guitar over and over and over again, and it's not very interesting to listen to. And it actually is making me feel a little bit miserable just by listening to it now. But if I start to use the whole range of the keyboard, then I can decide to Play the melody up here sometimes, or maybe drop it down quite low. And you'll probably hear that as I'm going up and moving up the scale, it does actually sound a little bit chirpier, doesn't it, than if I'm down here. And then you probably can feel the sort of sadder tones as I'm down here doing things. And so just by changing those two things, already you can see that there's some texture there, and you can start to feel a certain confidence in the volume and a certain timidity in the quieter bits, and a certain chirpiness in the moving up and down and on the scale of the kind of piano, as opposed to just staying on the same note all the time as I'm talking, or even dropping down here. Now, the final one, we've done volume and we've done melody, but the final one is pace. So by changing my pace of my voice, that can be quite evocative too. Now, all these things I'm telling you, songs do it as well. Songs will change volume in order to change the dynamics of a song, to suddenly reach a crescendo and then bring you back down again. You'll hear this in music all the time. And the same in terms of melody. You'll hear that the songs very rarely will just have one note just being played all the time. It would be a very dull song if we did that. So we have melody in songs, and just as you've got melody in your voice. And you'll notice that songs, just like speaking, can go at a different pace. Now, can you imagine, say the song Cry Me a River, this heartfelt song, can you imagine if that was played 100 miles an hour, like a punk version of Cry Me a River? It'd be a very different song. And it'd feel, wouldn't it, like it had a very different emotion, almost an angry, kind of dismissive emotion, if Cry Me a River was done very, very fast. And so, just like suppose an artist with a palette, I suppose, you can start playing with these three things and just notice in yourself what happens as you hear yourself talk in that way. So the three things I mentioned there were volume, melody, and pace. Because one of the things that we know now is that the way we talk is going to have an effect on somebody else's nervous system. And if you're having an effect on somebody else's nervous system, that kind of impacts how they view you. But perhaps just as importantly, if not more so, is the fact that how you talk is something that your own nervous system is hearing all day long. And so given that the research shows that when the pitch goes up a little bit, it sounds chirpier, and it makes us feel happier than when we're down here in the basses, making ourselves feel really quite down in the dumps, then we can use that whenever we like. We can just get this tool out, our voice, this instrument, and start to make ourselves feel a little bit better than we do, simply by changing the volume, the melody, and the pace, just like great musicians do when they too want to evoke a particular emotion from you. So let's have a quick recap of all of that. We saw at the start, didn't we, how pet ownership is helpful, and that it's helpful for a whole host of different reasons, from exercise to co-regulation to oxytocin, but that one of those reasons is likely to be the way we talk to our animals. Hello there. Hello. What are you doing? That prosodic voice, because our nervous systems are hearing that too. And our nervous systems are fine-tuned through our ventral vagus nerve in order to really respond to that and for it to make us feel good and safe and calm. And we saw too that this wasn't just any old strange theory, but this study that was done where people spoke a short story and then had that short story played back to them, but tweaked to make it sound happier or sadder really did actually have an impact on whether they felt more or less positive. And we saw as well, didn't we, that there were three key things that you can change about the musicality of your voice, and that is the volume, the melody, and the pace. And so by using those three things, like a chef or like a painter with a palette, you can actually use your voice as an instrument, not just to make you feel better, but to make others feel better around you as well, and become a real positive influence in the world and in your social circle, and of course, for yourself as well. So if you found this useful, then please do share it so other people can get the benefits. If you'd like to work with me directly, then you can. I'm Alan Parry, and you'll find out more about me at liverpoolpsychotherapy.co.uk. And of course, don't worry if you're not in Liverpool, because I'm working online anyhow. So get in touch if you'd like to work with me. And if you'd want to make sure that you never miss an episode of this podcast again, then make sure you subscribe, because it's completely free, and then you'll be notified in your podcast feeds whenever a new episode is released. So thanks very much for listening. Enjoy using your voice, and I'll see you on the next one.